This district. It's Tuesday, August 11th at 5:29 p.m. We're at the Gunlock Community Center. Present is Chief Guthrie, Slade Hughes, Rosemary D'Amato, Mark Kane.
Sorry. That's good. Okay. So to just make sure, so this is a meeting to dialogue, not to vote on anything, but we can talk about things, and then at the meeting we have, or when we get to it, then we can vote on stuff. So it's informational and stuff, at least I've been thinking through. I know, and I talked to Mark, I talked to Charlie. both Charlie and I were looking at the 6 month expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And when we looked at them, to my recollection, we were like, wow, Charlie had said, you know, I don't foresee spending the money we had budgeted for. And so then we said, well, then let's go forward. We had over 200 grand that we would buy those two vehicles, right, to help.
Mm-hmm.
Each station, Veo and Central, in their rescue stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, we need to put together our 2027 budget. So in looking at it, that's kind of where I wanted to catch in with everybody and get your input on what you foresee that we will either need for 2027, and we're going to be amending again our 2026 because we have to, once we get all the numbers correct, towards December, we need to put that in.
Mm-hmm.
So currently in our So you look at the budget, but I also look at the cash. So right now we have $116,000 in our PTIF,
mm-hmm.
and we have a $55,000 in our checking account. So it's about $170,000 that we have cash-wise.
Okay.
Income-wise, I don't foresee a lot of income for the second half of the year. It's just our normal income because we've gotten most of our standby fees. And the folks that haven't paid, who it goes on their taxes, we're back to that same $70,000 that gets rotated.
Paula said she thinks it's about 53 right now that we've got outstanding. We've had some and some late fees come in, so we're probably about
for 50, this year. For this year. Okay.
So
well, then that's better than the previous years.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. For 26 outstanding.
Did we want to do any realignment of properties, meaning the folks that were vacant land on January 1st of 26 but have built in 2026 and now have a home on that property?
Okay. So that will get billed. So it's based on January 1st of that year. So
right.
January 1st, and we just I talked with David Whitehead to try to skip this hiccup that was had last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to obtain, I think there were 11 properties that by January 1st they were changed so that their standby fees are exempt. So we have that information. The same thing happened the year before. What's happening is either people are combining the properties or they're able to get FAA or Greenbelt or whichever it is that they can then fall into that. So we do have that information. I think the property builds, yes, I'm not... I'd have to check with the county and see how that happens. I think once they get a C of O is when they start getting charged taxes. So that's a question then to ask.
But
so I
even
could do
if they
that.
Don't have the certificate, they now have a structure if they're in the middle of building, which we have to protect.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But if it's
we are required to go off of January 3rd.
Correct.
So even if they built February, we don't get to bill them for that house until the following January.
Correct.
But
January.
And I want to see that we can pick that up. And the other things that I think we've been missing, I don't think we've ever looked at the business licenses that have been issued for residences.
So I talked to the county about that. And okay. If they have a business license and they have a place in wherever, St. George, and they happen to have one, say, in their garage, they're already paying their business license. In other words,
we
wouldn't.
We're not incorporated, though.
Say that again?
We're not incorporated. That's not our issue. Our issue is, I'll use the dog groomer as an example.
Oh.
She's renting an outbuilding from another property owner. She's running a business on that property. But that's the owner's responsibility to make sure that, since he has a commercial renter on that property, we've been billing that property for just house.
I am of the opinion that we don't go down that rabbit hole. Because the county has started to, what they have, home-based businesses, right? These
yes,
contractors
they have.
That,
yes.
that have, that are, they're, you're their contractor, they do their billing from their home office.
Right.
They're requiring them to actually get a zone change or
not. Yeah, that's dumb if you don't have people come into your place.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I think unless the property is zoned commercial and is operating in that manner, I think we got to be careful at trying to go and pick homes with home-based businesses.
Well, we've got guy that's doing motorcycles out of his.
I guess my question is, what's it going to mean to the bottom line? Is it really going to move the needle to go after these individuals?
Well, $1,000 for 10 houses. Something like that. I don't.
Well, I think there's a different thing with what Slade's saying. I agree because it's a. But it's the guy.
How do we differentiate, right?
I know.
Attention.
I know. Which is
no.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why the county. When I asked them about it, they said, Rosemary,
well,
if they're paying.
Well, this is certainly one of them.
if they already have a business license and a business, they're.
I don't think it works.
It is what it is.
I think it
but
does
if it's an office, it's not a business. You know, like
John Levitt arrived
that would,
at 5:35.
That would change their status. So, but going back to, we have to go by what the county's designation is come January 1st of that year. That's our baseline. So we can't change that.
No, but the county, for instance, is billing Mary for the tower that's in the middle of Central.
Mike, hi.
That.
Howdy.
Oh, wow, you're back.
Got back yesterday. I got three days R&R, and then we can go back out on Friday if we have to.
Mike Johnson arrived at 5:36. So they're billing her for that half acre. They're
right, but is that property on a FAA?
It is.
So
no, it's not exempt. They're billing her for that half acre. Because it's got the tower on it, but we haven't.
Mary Houston does get billed for X number of properties. It's so all of her properties are not. I'd have to look up it, which one. But she has a bunch that are exempt, just like Slade. You have a bunch that are exempt, and then you have a bunch that you pay for.
So do I. But let's not talk about those exempt ones. Leave those alone.
No. We're just saying.
And in Vail, there's two towers that aren't being billed that should be billed. For these commercial towers,
but if the county doesn't have it,
they do.
I'll look it up. Give me a parcel number. I can look up every one, and it will say exactly.
I talked to our director for
Scott Meisel.
Yeah, I talked to Scott about it, and he said yes, we're capturing that half acre from American Towers, billing it to her regular parcel. So it's unfortunately it's a Mary problem, and she has to recover that from American Towers on the lease.
Okay, but again, we can only go by what the county has recorded on January 1st.
Well, they've had that recorded for years. We've just never taken the time to capture it.
I don't know. We went through when I came on board, we got those maps printed, and myself and whoever helped do it, we went to every single property. We found 52 that were never billed, and then we started billing them. And then that caused someone like Ed Bowler, who said, why am I getting five bills this year? And then I met with him with you and your sister-in-law, is it, or someone else? Right, who said that, but I showed them what the county's recorded was for that year, and they understood, and then they paid it, and then Ed went down to the county and had those properties changed to different status so that the following year he was not billed on them. Hmm. So I'd have to look them up, but we spent hours and hours and hours and hours going over every single property. Another one was Susan Warren. She was one of the gals helping me. And when we got to her house, I said, Susan, you have three properties. She said, yes, I do. I go, you've only ever been billed for one. She goes, oh, how much money do I owe? Right? And so I said, well, we made mistakes. We're not going backwards. And so now she gets billed for the three properties. But she never, you know, it's like you don't know what you don't know. So she didn't know that a parcel, she's been there for 30 years.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever done a survey.
So I need but we went through every single one. The maps are all up in the office. And they're all highlighted every single property.
Well, that's the benefit of that software, is you can literally go through and look at the history of every one of those parcels. Yeah,
yes.
It's a pain in the butt, but you do it once a year, and, you know, the county does the flyby. They've been doing that service.
Oh, I know,
service
and
forever.
I will tell you, there were properties, we went on the county's website with the map where it showed a building, and if it had a building on it, then we changed it to a building, but then we came across FAA and Greenbelt properties that might have a building shed on it. But again, because they're exempt status, they don't get billed. Hmm. I brought up, gee, if it has a building on it, should we be looking at that? We've not gone through that exercise, but
right.
I'm just offering that. Then it goes back to, I don't think we can just say, well, because we think you have that business, then we're going to charge you that if the county's record doesn't show it.
Yeah, but it's not the county's fee. It's our fee. It has nothing to do
with
it.
But our fee is based on what the county says it is on January 1st. Does anybody know anything different?
Anybody? I thought that was the understanding I had is whatever the county says it's.
Right, that's what we go on.
It's classed as is what
yep.
we go on, right?
Right.
Well, it can be classed, but we're the ones that decide on, you know, what's on that property. Is it subject to something different than a blank piece of property that, like those towers, those are the highest risk you can think of, going out there and trying to fight fire for the cell towers. They've got diesel, they've got generators, they've got electromagnetic radiation. That's a toughie to do. Well, they've been getting away with that for free forever. And we've been trying for 2 years to look at least capturing some of those outliers like that, because those are, you know, a couple $1,000 that would help.
Okay, so Mark,
I have a question on that, on the one on my sister-in-law's property. We've got that tower. Are they, because it's part of it. It's on the green land.
Yes, it's the same as Mary's. When I talked to the county, they said they now realize that it's there and they're billing Mary separately, even though it's on her assessor parcel on the green. They're separately billing for that half acre that she.
So had. Are they taking that half acre and designating it as another parcel?
No, it's not.
So
it's no. They're billing her for that parcel on her parcel, and that's the problem. Is it? No, it's not a different APN, but they're billing her for commercial property on her exempt property.
Okay, but I just, this is a list from the county,
right?
For every, I think there's almost 1,500 parcels. You see all these AgLand, FAA, that is what our standby fees go by. And so unless this changes, I don't think we have the authority to bill something that
well,
is
well, they're
not
billing
on that.
Her for it, so they are, we can.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Well, he said he doesn't see why not. They're billing it for... She's leasing it out.
I understand,
so
but I don't
that
know.
That exemption is not valid for that property.
I'm not, honestly, I'm not sure Scott is the one that can
has
speak
the authority.
To that. You know, I think he has a good idea in his mind what he thinks it should be, but I think the assessor himself is
we went over to the assessor's office and they looked at that parcel and said, yes, it's on her exempt property, however, it's a commercial leased property and they're billing her for it.
Billing her taxes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but
I guess my question is, how do we change up our policy where, you know, what we do goes off of that list right there? How do we go outside of that and make that decision that we're going to bill it separately?
Because we have to identify those properties, like that oil company.
I understand, but do we have the authority to do that identification? I know in the past, all that we've done is we've gone off what the county
that's
has given
a Devin
us.
Question, probably. But I just like so. The oil company that's on the gas company's property, that is a separate parcel number. They have no right to not be billed for it. And
but
the state's billing.
I just don't know that we can go outside of what
correct.
Our policy is to go off of that list.
Correct.
We've got to get the county to change their designation before we can change ours.
Or get the county to give us where it's not a tax. It's a service fee. So we don't have to get a county resolution to do that from what Devin had said.
Is this going to make or break our financials in our district?
Well, overall, if we looked at all of the properties that are in this situation, it would probably be 20,000 to 30,000 every year.
You think so?
Oh, yes. I've been looking at properties all over the place where there's extra stuff that we're not billing. And it was when our former leader had said, you know, don't look at the past. We're not looking at anything we haven't done, and I don't want you looking at anybody's property. Well, that's stupid.
Well,
you know that. I'm not saying.
I don't think it's that much money.
I think we're heading down the nitty gritty path.
Future for the next 10 years. You get $2,500 where we get zero.
Oh, wait, so you're but not $20,000 a year.
Probably.
That's 10%,
five properties.
That's 10%. Yeah, but we don't charge that much.
On a commercial high risk?
On a commercial high risk is $600 and something.
No.
Yes, it is.
Over 1,000.
Under 7.
Yeah, right. It's
what's our highest rate? Was over 1,000.
The resort.
The resort is $2,000. I've got to look them up because I don't remember them off the top of my head. Let me think.
Oh, well, anyway, right. We don't have that kind of time.
Right. The other part of that high risk thing is there's high risk. One is a offensive attack and one's a defensive attack, right? One of those cell powers, it's not life-threatening. Our job mainly there is to keep it from spreading, so that doesn't create as big a risk as...
No, but it creates a physical risk to any firefighter within a click of that place.
Yeah, I get where you're going, but Slate has a point. It's not like we're going to be making, you know, it's not like a commercial building where they're working inside the building with chemicals and we've got to make entry to pull somebody out of it. I know there's not that, but... I don't know I worry that we're discussing things that we really don't have a whole lot of authority to make any changes on right now. I think if we do need to go to the county and say, hey, listen, you need to take a look at this and make changes. And I think it was my understanding that we kind of have to what the county designation is. I mean, that's what we told Ed. That's how we charge him, and he went and made the changes, so
right.
Now we go off of that list that the county gives us.
Well, I'll call the assessor's office, and I'll have a conversation. Is it Tom? the assessor?
Durant, yeah, I believe so. Yeah. That's still him, right?
I'm pretty sure. I've met with him before on stuff.
And I'd like to revisit the Pinto issue with the county, because they explicitly said we don't want fire services and opted out, and yet we've got call after call with Enterprise and Pine Valley out there this year. And we're not getting reimbursed for 8 vehicles going out there and all the risk and time for you guys. It's not right that...
But don't they pay someone?
No.
No.
They opted out.
Oh, they won't pay?
They were part of the district, mm-hmm. and they said, no, we don't want it.
Wow. Interesting. Like can they even do that?
Says, no, we don't have anything to do with it.
I don't know whose responsibility it is. It's technically the county's responsibility, not mm-hmm. any agency's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be something we could bring up with county commission because it is ultimately in their purview. And, yeah, they have been enjoying a, you know, services that they're not paying for.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, let's move on. That's
okay.
To beat a dead horse. That's just something to look at. I mean, if we identify that it's worthwhile, then maybe it's something we need to do. If it's not worthwhile, then let's not.
Right, but unless someone changes direction, we have been given to make the charges. I think we're spinning, and I'd rather spend my time on something else.
Well, okay.
I don't know anybody else. I'm just telling
you
where I'm at.
Well, again, I don't want to leave a lot of money on the table, but at the same time, I think we are bound, at least if not anything by tradition, that we have gone by that list, unless we get some other authority to make those changes. I think if it is something we need to pursue, we need to go down to the assessor's office and say, hey, you need to take a look at these properties, and we think they might be a designation.
And then we would have to hold a public meeting.
I agree that we should stick to the designation as far as the county goes. I think the other part of that is the ability to try and go pick those out without that designation could get tricky, right? Like,
right, you pick this one and they're like, well, why not
pick
that one?
John's and I picked Charlie's, but I didn't. Right. I didn't catch yours. You know.
Well, when we do, we'll get
you. Yeah, I realize that.
I think it could open us up for some problems. You know, and again, we've also told people, we're like, hey, listen, I'm sorry, your designation shows 3 parcels. Oh, but it's all one. Well, that's what the county says. It's 3 parcels. You need to go down and get it changed, and then we'll amend that and not bill you for that. And that's what we've been telling the residents that called up.
And if we do that, man, I would have to go through all the property, or I'd want to go through all the properties again to make sure so that I could speak to it. Because if you did miss this one and that one, you know, they're like, you know, what are you guys doing? You don't have your ducks in a row because it's not accurate. And now you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And then we finally have come to a great place, I think, and we've done very well and we've caught a lot of things. So things would have to change, and we'd have to go out to a public notice because we're changing something for a fee for a use of these towers that we've never charged.
It's not a public notice. It's a change of designation for a commercial property.
Well,
they're leasing those for thousands of dollars a month, and trying to get a freebie because they're in a green belt, and it's time that stops. We need to capture that. It's our risk when something happens over there. We have to protect it for free. That's my bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of getting stepped on. Everybody like Pinto, we've been going out there forever now, and they're getting it for free.
So why do we go out there?
Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Again, it is kind of no man's land. You know, everybody ends up going, us and Enterprise and Pine Valley. It's kind of a jump ball when they make the call. Who gets it? I think they've been calling it out as Central, but everybody's been going out on those.
Yeah. Because if a fire gets away out there, it's
could
not
we
just
make a and I don't know, but so could we make a policy where if we do go to Pinto, each fire group that went out to Pinto is going to charge based on the amount of people, the amount of vehicles, et cetera, and then
no,
send
but
Pinto.
That's
to
what,
I don't
that's
know.
What Dameron tried to do to us.
Yeah. Well, no, but we're an entity. Pinto explicitly said, bug off. And
so in that if we feel that it's a burden on us, then we should just bug off. We should just not go. If that's what we're gonna do. I don't think we need to get in the nitty gritty of trying to go build for them or anything like that. Like we either go as a service because we want to go and help out on our dime, or we do what they asked us to do and bug out.
Everyone's dime.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Everyone that paid in is paying for them.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no
and
doubt.
I understand it's the right thing to do, go fight it, but maybe Slade's right. Don't go.
Mm. Well, and honestly, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Well, that
I don't
that's
either.
A question.
No, so my
I
thought
I don't
is,
think Slade does either. He was up there not too long ago, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were all up there.
Yeah,
well, that's what county commissions, we
and
drop
I think
it back
that
in their
we
lap.
We need to get some, if it really is an issue we need to look at, I think we need to put some things together.
Right.
The county
we need the county commission
to do it, not us to go try it.
That's what I was saying.
Right. And yeah, that's a damn thing for us to go in and start trying.
We shouldn't go try to collect money now because we did it on our own. No one made us go.
No. No, we went because it's the right thing.
Basically, it comes down to the run cards.
Yeah.
You know, they send the page, and everybody in the world goes out there, and it's nonsense.
It is. And again, I think it is something. I mean, we've got something before the county right now that I think is a bigger precedent. And I think once we get that, you know, the medical stuff taken care of, we can go and start addressing the county commission on other things like this. Yeah, there should be some obligation on Pinto if they're, you know, fish or cut bait. But at the same time, we do have some other pressing issues.
How many dwellings are in Pinto?
I'll slip out. I'll be back in a little while.
Okay.
All right.
How many dwellings? Anybody? I mean, 100
probably
or?
20.
20?
Yeah, it's a community. Yeah. It's a little smaller than Gunlock, but it's a community. And there's some nice homes up there. There's it's a nice little community. But
so we're talking $4,000.
Well, it's not that. The issue is everybody has to go. Enterprise goes, we go, Pine Valley goes.
That's a run card thing.
Yeah,
and that's that straightened out.
That's a different. Yeah, I think that
everybody
is.
Everybody in
kind
the world going to a single tree is a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, but then again, if it's bigger than that, it's going to be another half hour before you get somebody to get out there.
Yeah.
And that's another judgment that we have to do.
That's why we need a drone.
That would be nice. We've got...
Pine
Valley. There are some more systemic issues that we've got, and I think we're coming to a point where we can take care of those. You know, I get teased all the time about, you know, how many people are going on some of these calls. And it's the truth. You know, Halusa calls me all the time going, hey, do you want me to come in Valley Park for that incident? But I think we're on the precipice of being able to tell some of these other agencies that are coming in, like Dameron, like Pine Valley, on an automatic aid type of situation that, you know what, we're okay. Don't come unless we need you. I don't know if we're totally there yet, but... You know, our medical response now is much more consistent. You know, I got a lot of crap from Gold Cross last night because of how many people showed up on that call. And But the good news is that we're at that point now that we're getting a consistent enough response from our own district that we're going to feel comfortable saying, hey, listen, Dameron, just if we need you, we'll call you. And I think we're on that edge. So, and I think that's the goal. And the same thing, Central right now, I hesitate with Central because Ralph is deployed. Mm-hmm. Once Ralph is back a little bit more, we can tell Pine Valley, listen, don't come down the hill on these medicals unless we call you.
Pine Valley's better at listening.
Pine Valley is so much better a partner than Dan
Valley. They'll automatically respond.
Yeah.
And they are such a good partner. But I think we're just about to that point, and we've got the rescues, we've got that regular response, and we're able to do what we need to do that we can tell these other agencies.
Well, is that like Pine Valley's chief? Would that be their preference that we advise them? Hey, I think we got it. If you could stand by, we'll let you know.
And again, right now we're just with Ralph deployed, especially Pine Valley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to leave that alone right now.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate them coming down.
It is a really good thing. And Dameron Valley, again, we just have to have that regular response to know we've got some people that are going, we don't need them to come. It's been convenient because they're there all the time. They're all ready to go. Pine Valley's been convenient. They're all retired guys. We know there's a crew that's going to be able to come from Pine Valley. I think we're at the point now, though, we're a little bit more consistent, and we can put a crew together, and we can take care of our own. So that's kind of where I'd like us to go by the end of the year, is be able to say, listen, we got it. So
back to budget?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're here, isn't it?
For your department, is there, with your crystal ball in 2027, is there anything major you need replaced? A door, door opener, anything that costs some money?
No.
That's the rodeo for me here.
I don't think. Well, the only one that I'm nervous about, and we took it to the mechanic late last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got a head gasket issue on my brush truck.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but whatever he did to it last time, it seems to be helping.
Okay. So let's say you get a blown
that Duramax.
A blown head gasket, $1,400.
Well, I think the way he was talking, it might
cracks and locks.
The way it did, it might need a new motor.
So a short block is going to be. So, $7,000 at least, right?
Yep.
Or 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably better than a different truck, isn't it?
What year is
the truck?
Yeah.
You like the truck?
Yeah, I love the truck.
What year is that?
It's a 2006.
20 years old.
If we did a chassis swap, would that?
Yeah.
Would you love a 2024?
I like the truck.
For $10,000, I mean, you put a new engine.
Well, no,
and you
it's
going to
be
right?
With labor. You're, you know, then transmission.
Yeah, but a new chassis, new cabin chassis, is going to be
$80,000 probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but now you got a warrantied truck for another 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I think we have to be, if we're going to be looking at that kind of money for equipment, I think we should be looking at grants.
Well,
you know, I know,
but that it's an emergency kind of thing.
Yeah,
unless
but
we can,
$10,000 or even $15,000 versus $80,000,
yeah, but
and then all the work to
you're
move
spending
all
it on
stuff.
A 20-year-old truck. So down the road, we're going to spend more to keep it running, probably. But again, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that comes up. It's,
the truck that I'm using is a 2007 Chevy. You know, Kodiak.
It's the same. It same pretty, thing.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it rides like a beast, but it.
Well, so what would you think? You know, I think if we get a new apparatus, our next purchase of an apparatus would probably be a new brush truck. I think our Type 1 engines are all still solid, mm-hmm. in good shape, and we don't need to replace that. But
no.
So which brush truck would you see as being the most in need of replacement?
If we had people in Brookside,
that's the next one, and then
after that would be Central.
Well, if you rotated equipment. So that the two busy stations, Vail and Central, have the best vehicle.
Yeah.
Is there no one in Central? Are we shorthanded there?
No, there's people in Central.
The problem is the majority of them, they deploy over the summer.
Like, the way you said it is like, are we short people in Central?
No, we're
short in Brookside.
We're short in Brookside.
Brookside,
we may have a solution that's brewing right now. And by next season, I think Brookside is going to be a viable asset for us. And so I got somebody teed up that I think can take the leadership, and then there's some other people coming in with him that I think will be an asset, and now Brookside will become a viable station for us. So, but that brush truck, I think, in Brookside is probably our next one that that old green one should be replaced.
Yeah, that old BLM engine.
Yeah.
So is that something you fix the Duramax, roll in there, and do a new truck? Or that's what I'm saying.
Probably well, the and, one and that, from Central. That might be a viable option.
Right. The Chevy?
Yeah.
That is a viable option.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know it's still a 20-year-old truck, but...
No, and listen, I've got almost a 30-year-old brush truck that's passable here in Gunlock. But Vail is probably our anchor station, and you guys need to have that machine that is going to make it out every time, because you're going to have that crew.
Yeah, right, because they have the best crew.
Yeah, right now you've got that crew that's going to be going out, so I want to make sure you guys are taking care of it. So, yeah, we might take the Duramax, put that over Brookside, and get something new and more reliable for you guys in Vail. So, but I do think that maybe this year we look at getting a new brush truck in the fleet.
Should we let's put that in the 2027 budget?
Yeah.
Well, as I have mentioned to Mark, we definitely should put in the budget $100,000 is my thought for equipment so that we don't have the issue we had this year when we spent $100,000 on the two trucks and then we had a backtrack with the state, and I had to let them know we made a mistake, and then we didn't
make a mistake.
Yeah, but it's not that big of a deal.
We simply made a change in direction, and we're still...
No, I know, but we didn't follow their process. They were fine with it.
No, I understand, but I know, but there is a process in place for us to be able to do things like, you know what? This is a priority that's come up, and we're going to change. We're not going to get this. We're going to get that because this is a new priority that we didn't budget for.
It might be over your budget,
right?
Yeah. And there's a process to
correct.
There is a process to go to the county and go, we've changed this.
Well, it's the state, not the county.
Well, the state.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're still well below our annual income budget. We're not falling outside of what we're...
No, we did, because we had to move money from our PTIF to cover the second vehicle.
I know, but we still have underspent significantly. There's a lot of things we haven't bought yet.
I know, but... Okay.
So, no, we...
I guess I'm just saying I'd like to put it in there and then amend the budget at the end of the year like we always have to.
Yeah.
But put it in so we don't have that hurdle to deal with again.
Okay.
I mean, to put it in for it.
So... What is your preference for brush truck? Try and new chassis and rebuild
all new.
If you're going to take that one to someplace else, then we have
then,
to go there.
And how much does a whole new one cost about?
I bet you're $100,000.
It's been $333 was my bid last year on a demo.
Well, then we'd have to go for a grant because we don't have that kind of money.
But California took every one of them. The CDF, there wasn't a brush truck available.
I know, but I'm
anywhere.
Just saying, but there's no way we have that kind of money.
No, we'd have to get...
So do we have an option to buy a decent used one?
Yeah.
We don't have to buy a brand new one.
Yeah, I think...
So 100 and a half? I mean...
I think that's
a big chunk when we have a 200 and...
We've got...
Our income.
Our income is usually about 215. Is what our income is for the year. Is what I'm seeing in standby fees. No, our total operating income is $315,000.
Right.
We had in our annual budget $74,000 in grant income. So take that out. We're looking at about 250, 260 mm-hmm. is what our regular income is going to be.
Just on standby fees.
Just on standby fees, and then, you know, the rent we get.
So obviously we don't want to spend all out of one truck.
No.
Well, we can't.
We ought to right. find a decent
Yeah.
Or get, I still say, or get a grant. I mean, we can apply for grants. I mean, look at one law kind of.
Yeah, if we were to go for a CNG grant for a brush truck.
And this will be.
Looking for somebody that can write grants for us?
It'd be nice.
I thought we were supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, we haven't gone down that road.
But the three of us wrote the grant for Gunlock and got it.
Yeah.
I'm willing to put time in again to do that.
Yeah. But there are people out there that can do that, and.
And I know.
Right. Was it Pine Valley?
Pine Valley, and they've been very happy. They went with a service that goes out and chases the grants and then helps them write the grant.
Uh-huh.
And it's already paid for itself so far this year. Yeah. They've only been doing it for about 5 or 6 months. And
yes.
I think we can do that.
Yeah. Well, I can call the board. In fact, they have a meeting tomorrow night, their board meeting.
Because they might not grant us the whole amount.
But if
you get half a brand new
somebody
one.
That's what they do is chase the grants.
That's the other side of it, is knowing the grants and knowing what those grants require and, you know, being able to chase them. That's the tough one. Is knowing what's out there.
What's available
what it takes to get it.
They have a service like that. Let them do that.
They've been very happy with the service.
Absolutely.
And they've got a lot of new equipment. As far as other equipment, you know, we still need SCBAs for
Central
and for Brookside.
Go back to. But they have to be Fire 1, Fire 2 certified.
Well, to use them. But they are going to be responding on calls with us on those fires and having that equipment available that, you know, other Fire 1, Fire 2 people that would join with them are on there.
And we'll train them on those. And so even though they might not have gone through the academy to do the entire Fire 1, Fire 2, that's what we're building up to is just getting the program going so as people come in we can train them and just put them through
we never used to have an academy just did it and Euchre can help us with that.
Winchester is doing it. I mean we could set it up to where, you know, it would probably take 18 months to 2 years to get to get it all done, but we could do that. And I know one of the new guys that's looking to come on the Brookside is Will Cameron.
Yeah.
Said he'd be willing to help us put together a training program that we could do to be able to facilitate that. So I know that might be something we put down as we start that program for 2027, that we start doing that. I know we talked a bit about reimbursement for volunteers to help, you know, spur people on to want to volunteer and compensate them. I know without a whole lot of big purchases, we probably will have some money in the budget to do that. It's going to be a little bit of a can of worms to administer it, because now all of a sudden we're doing payroll and payroll taxes and all those kinds of things. We need to make sure that we're ready to do that. And do you think that's going to move the needle for us? Reimbursing, you know, for call-outs, is that going to
move the needle for us? Would that have an effect?
That becomes my question.
Are more people going to go out because they're going to get money versus that you need, like, you need them or don't need them, but they...
Well, or...
How do you manage that?
Is it going... Again, are we going to... Is that going to move the needle and make a significant... change for us?
What do you think?
And most of the people volunteer because
they want
to volunteer, you know. But it is tough to step away when you're making money doing something else to step away from that. I don't know that we've got the funds to be able to you know, augment, say, hey, listen, you step away from your paying job to come on a call. But I don't know.
Giving them gas
I really don't know the answer. That's why I'm throwing it out there. Would a reimbursement plan significantly change it?
Are we short volunteers?
We could always use more.
Yes, I think we are.
Could we not, instead of doing that, could we not track it and then at the end of the year give them a stipend and a thank you instead of doing it per call, but do it, because then, you know, if it's, you know, $50, $100, but if you could get a check for $1,000 at the end of the year, you could do, you know.
You're going to do everyone that, though.
Well, I know, but you'd have to have
You're going to track it anyway, have to so be why hours not do it on based, each call?
Because $1,000 in someone's pocket, I think, is more meaningful than $50 this month, $100 that month. That's why. And eliminate the payroll, because if we have to do payroll and taxes...
We wouldn't have to do payroll on that.
No.
That's just a call-out fee as long as it stays under the federal threshold.
I know, but I'm just saying, I don't know what... again, I would love to know how many calls have gone out in a year, and, you know, I would like to, take 2025 and look at all the call-outs and how many people and, what would that have equated to? And then look at it again for what would it have equated to in 2026. So we have arms around an amount.
We have to have the reports to trust.
Right.
It's pretty much the same people that show, right?
Well, and that's...
Isn't that a dozen or two of...
I have a friend, he refers to volunteer stuff as STP, the same type of people.
Right.
It is a lot of the usual suspects. It's always nice to get, you know, the guy who hasn't been out a while that comes out. You've been at this a whole lot longer than I have. Do you think that paying per call would make any kind of a difference?
I'm sure there's a good chance that it would, but.
Is it significant enough that it would really move the needle, or would we just be paying the same guys that are coming out anyway?
Well, it depends on, it always depends on how much, but it also depends, you'd have to depend, it would be based on how many calls they responded to.
Yeah.
And, as you know, if you responded to more than 75% or whatever, and make it a cutoff... It's there again. It just seems like a lot more paperwork that I don't do already.
A medical call's different than a fire call anyway.
Yeah.
So I think there's risk to the EMT paramedics that go out. That's a different risk than the firefighters going out, but they're both using fuel to get to the station. You know, I'd like to at least do, but look how hard it is for us to get just a party together. We still haven't been able to do that.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's where we give out, you know, gift cards or something, you know.
The one thought I did have is maybe with the rescues we now have, if maybe we had a stipend for taking call, you know, $50 if you take the rescue for the day or something like that, and stay on call.
Yeah.
I could see. I mean, that's really the one thing that we really want is to tell Dameron to stay home, but to do that, we have to have some dedicated people that are going to be around, going to be available, and going to be able to respond to anything that comes up.
Maybe start, because you need two people, right? Start with weekend call, Friday night through Sunday night, or Monday morning.
Yeah.
And that way we're paying for two people for, you know, Saturday and Sunday, essentially, giving up their weekend to be on call. That's an awesome idea.
Right now, we're doing pretty good. The guys in Vail are, you know, they're taking the rescue and they're responding. It's just, that's one thing we're really going to have to look at if we're going to tell these other districts to stand out.
Getting the guys on a
regular schedule.
On a solid schedule.
That, yeah, right you now, have the rest, you're going to be responding. Yeah. Other people are going to join you, but you are the one that's going to be doing it. So
what's
you
the
have to have to?
You don't have to.
Okay.
It certainly helps. Mean,
well, as a new EMT, there's a comfort level of having...
But it's better than it was in the past because we've got Gold Cross now, too.
That's
so
true.
Anything we respond to,
we're going
to be responding
to
Gold Cross or with...
And really, our job is to augment them, you know, help lift the patient, you know, secure the dog, go get the gurney, those types of things. I mean, Gold Cross is going to take the lead on most of these calls, but... You know, having that fire presence and that extra hand is always really good.
Do you do a training scenario behind that for specifically for VAIO about the assists Gold Cross on the calls or?
We've had a lot of discussions about it and talked about how that's what their main objective is. You know, if they get there first, it's to stabilize the scene and facilitate the ambulance crew that's coming in. That's really what a quick response is really all about.
And again, but that would be for Gunlock,
VAIO,
and Brookside, but not for Central.
Well, it'd still be for Central, but we'd just be working with Enterprise.
Yeah, basically working with Enterprise.
Yeah, it's a different...
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But if the advantage of having... The numbers that you have now for EMT is we could almost cover a week or every other, like one weekend a month, rotating them through. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so what would be worth it? $100 a weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we got to look at what kind of money's available. You know,
we're looking at, if you did 100 a weekend, that's 5,200. A year.
What can we get away with without having
2000.
To do
2000?
Okay.
Well, I mean, to the
right
to the district. Each individual, you wouldn't. I mean, unless you're taking every weekend, that you want to keep them under 2000 for 1099.
Well, I would still go back to how many calls were in 2025, how many in 2026 for medical.
That's just for 1099.
See what that number becomes. Yeah.
Well,
so
are we
1099.
No, it'd be time 1099.
It'd be 1099.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, 1099 is not the most difficult thing in the world to issue.
We do
go over that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to be that. It's
no.
Well, wait.
Facilitating a payroll every month is.
But that costs even more money
because
we have to.
I don't. You know. I set them up in the system in Zions as a vendor, and you just give me hours.
Right. So that
somebody's got to get you all the information, and somebody's got to be.
Well, yeah, but if it's a weekend thing, then once a month, we get four things or five things put in.
Well,
from my side, it's not a biggie. There's no payroll.
I understand, but a couple things. You can make a 1099, whatever number it is, and then they're responsible on their own for their taxes. And if they want to pay into their Social Security, it's if the income is $2,000 or less, then they don't have to put that on their taxes.
We don't have to issue
1099.
So
correct.
So I think we as a group probably we're not going to decide it tonight, but we need to look at what is that number we want to set aside to maybe facilitate compensating some people for taking call or being available on the rescues.
I'd also like to have the
chiefs compensated on holiday weekends. You guys, somebody generally needs to be here, or you should be compensated for that.
But back up a minute. But it would be a gun lock. It's more than $5,000.
Thank you.
It's a gun lock. For 52 weeks. It's VAIO for 52 weeks. It's Brookside for 52 weeks.
But we don't have the coverage in Central.
And it's Central for 52. I'm just saying, but to look at it, to budget it, it's not just one group for Wouldn't it be each station?
Perhaps.
Yeah,
or we could. So I think
it wouldn't have to be right now, but we'd have to build up.
Build up to that. But time, but yeah. I could see, you know, having two stations covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Vail and Central, Brookside and Gunlock. Because you can, you know, you can move to the other areas and cover it that way.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we look at it on the front end doing it that way. Is insulin coming with that?
Rob the bishops of candy.
You got to watch that bowl. We've had ants in there so bad.
That bowl.
I'll eat it faster than the ants.
Okay.
I
just don't want to commit to something and then all of a sudden at the end of the year it's more than what we budgeted. I just want to make sure. That's
Do
all.
It
I
on
want
a trial.
Basically, you know, we're looking at that every month, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we would look at it. I think this needs a little bit more massaging and a little bit more. I think the chiefs need to really sit down and see what would work and how we can make this work with our people. This is something I'd like to see for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, this year I felt was more about getting equipment and getting things up to snuff. I think next year we need to really start focusing in on our personnel, on enhancing our volunteers, on our training, and those types of things. I think that should be our focus for 27. If anybody else has any other ideas, I mean, we're just about there with equipment. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we're
pretty much.
Pretty much, we're a whole lot better than we were a couple years ago.
How many volunteers are there?
Technically,
every one of them.
Yeah.
I know. So one. Because I think they've gone down. I don't know what they are. I've had a list, and there was 42 on it. That was my last list.
We're probably between 35 and 40 right now that are active.
And that would include EMSs and firefighters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how many of each are there, would you say?
Well, we've got, let's see, eight EMTs now, I think, nine EMTs. No, I think we've got 10, including the paramedic we now have in Central. And then
basically, every one of those is a firefighter.
Well, almost everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, almost everyone. Two of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
They're just EMTs. Well, the paramedic and one of the EMTs is just EMT.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think we're between 35 and 40 volunteers. We probably have a dozen that we can.
That are the usual suspects. That are the
Yeah, the ones that we know are, you know, if they're home, they're going to be out there.
5-minute warning. Is there anything we want to cover in the next 5 minutes?
Well, I think we should put money in for a grant writer because then hopefully we can
get
some more income and we can.
Did we not budget for that? I thought we did.
I thought we had.
We did. We just didn't pull the trigger.
Haven't done
it.
Yeah,
so if you can find out from Pine Valley who they're using, I was kind of holding back to wait and see how well it did, and supposedly it's already paying for itself,
mm-hmm.
so we should probably go the same route.
We still haven't heard about CIB, right? Have they started again?
Well, yes, they have, but I went through it and I called them, but I talked to Charlie a little bit about it. Like, what are we going to put in for? Like, we have to state all of that.
Yeah, you have to have a...
So, there's nothing to...
So, I think this grant writer idea is right on the money because you're spending a lot of time trying to figure. These people know, and they can help guide us,
right?
Too in some of these different areas.
Yeah.
Pine Valley, you know, they've got a bunch of new equipment. I think they've paid for a new ambulance. So I think this grant writer has been a good thing. So
we need to do that.
Well, that's if you can find that out for them, I think that would be a big help.
And I am certain we already authorized that. We ought to go through our...
We did. It was in the budget.
Yeah. So I think our I'm kind of looking at our budget from last year, and our income is going to be pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it all comes down to just moving a few things around on what we're going to purchase and make those priorities. It's not going to be that tough to just simply take this same spreadsheet, move a few things around. You know, if we put the brush truck in there and mm-hmm. other things not, I don't think it's going to be a really big deal to get our budget through. The process, I think, is going to be a whole lot easier than it has been in the past.
And the other thing to remember, something we went through, because our income became over $500,000, we spent how much on with the CPA? $5,000?
Yeah.
$5,000, plus the trips that had to be made to Salt Lake, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You guys went to, and then there was a trip to Cedar City. I'm just saying, it adds up.
Yeah,
and we need to keep that in mind. In the budget that, or
yeah,
somehow,
if you're going to go
you know,
over those things.
Although
you have
so spending eight to get
no, absolutely. But again, we didn't budget them. I'm just saying, I'd like
yeah,
to.
We just need to make sure they're in the budget.
Right. So, I just want to make sure we understand because the money all adds up. You know.
Let's next month at our next board meeting, when we have an air conditioned facility to work in, that let's go through the itemized list. I mean, I've got that whole itemized list there, and we'll just plug in the numbers. So that we'll have that first or second week in October. We can do our November.
Public
we can present it. We've got the 30 days by December.
In October we'll present it.
Yeah.
Because
we were late last time.
Okay.
So we have to.
So we need to. Okay. Well, let's start massaging some numbers. We'll have something to present by our next board meeting,
okay.
By the October board meeting.
Well, and
can we end?
You know, I think putting the numbers together is the simpler part.
Mm-hmm.
It's figuring out what we think we need to or strive to do with each of the stations and put, you know, be real about that.
Yeah.
So that's
I think we've been
the chiefs do every month.
Yeah. I think we've been pretty consistent this year aside from the new trucks we bought. I think we've pretty much been staying within
mm-hmm.
the guardrails that we set for ourselves
yeah.
last year.
And we did a lot this year. It's 6:30 right away, so
okay. One more thing if I may, but by looking at we went through with
Chris,
Mark, and we've talked to Charlie about selling the SUV and the vehicle that's in Mataqua and the ambulance that is, where's the ambulance?
It's at Vail.
In Vail. So that would be a chunk of money to put that we would get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, we have $170,000 right now,
right.
And we still have to pay out for the rest of the year our expenses, and we have very little income
mm-hmm.
coming in at this point. So.
By the way, we have a significant line of credit with Zions Commercial Government Commercial Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So if we decided to get a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
you can put a down payment on it to get our payments down. It can be leased, it can be purchased. We've got that entire line to do, and it's at market rate. So right now it's at, you know, 5 point whatever.
Okay.
So, you know, and that's a side issue. We don't have debt, and I hate to get debt, but
yeah.
that is an alternative. Okay. Should something happen to that and
mm-hmm.
we just jinx it and it blows up tomorrow, we have the ability. We're already preordained for that.
For how much?
I think we're up to 250. I mean, we can have whatever we want. We're, you know, our financials are really clean.
Right, we have no debt.
Right.
Okay.
But 250 would be really easy.
Yeah.
If we wanted to go higher than that, it wouldn't take.
Yeah. It's just with that money factor, the payments are high. It's not like the old days, so. It's 6:32. Can we end? So the work meeting's ended.